It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Colossians, we are continuing our teaching series on the book of Colossians, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The book of Colossians in the New Testament, founded indirectly by the Apostle Paul, and we know this based on his missionary journeys as outlined in the book of Acts, particularly Acts 16, verse 6. Acts chapter 18, verse 23, and Acts chapter 19, verse 10. Although Paul did not personally attend the Colossian founding of the church, his influence of touching a multitude of individuals for the gospel of Jesus Christ in that area allowed individuals to be gathered in the city of Colossae and found the church of Colossae. This is also evident in chapter 1, verse 7, with him who ministered to him, Epaphras, was the leader of the Colossian church. Scriptures teach that Paul spent years teaching in the school of Tyrannus in the city of Ephesus. Also, scripture teaches that Paul made numerous journeys in that area, influencing individuals by name throughout the New Testament scriptures, where these individuals founded, led, supported churches, all under the auspices of the conversion teaching of the Apostle Paul. The book of Colossians was written approximately between 62 AD and 64 AD, written from Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. The book of Colossians is one of four prison epistles, along with Ephesians, Philemon, and the book of Philippians. The book of Colossians has a number of themes. The main themes is the emphasis on Christ as the head of the church, the fullness of Christ, exhortations to Christian living, and particularly refuting intellectualism. Individuals that were a part of the Gnostic teaching, the cult of the Gnostics, which taught that knowledge is the way to God, and there was an inner light that was given to those who were super Christians, to those who were above other Christians based on their knowledge of this inner light. They also taught, unfortunately, that Christ was created, that he was a part of a series of creations from God. This cult came from the teaching that all matter is evil and the spirit is good. This was a result of answering a question that how could God create evil? And in their cultish conclusion, they decided that Christ was a creation from God, as to not attribute evil to the original creator, God himself. Unfortunately, they did not understand the scriptures where all good comes from the Lord and evil comes from the fall through the rebellion of Lucifer, or as his name is now, Satan. Also, the book of Colossians begins to teach the danger of trusting in Jewish rituals with the combination of adding Greek philosophy into the Christian faith, as we'll see when we begin to teach through the scriptures. This is the teaching on the book of Colossians, chapter 2, part 1, verses 1 through 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here in verse number 1, Paul speaks of a great conflict. This speaks of a great conflict, a struggle in prayer. Paul is praying for the Colossian church. And throughout the Pauline epistles, you will see how Paul prays for the churches and for individuals by name. Scripture teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 teaches to be continuing instant in prayer. Paul, the model prayer warrior, not only is agonizing and struggling with a conflict with prayer, but Paul is also demonstrating that there's great concern in that prayer, as he knows that the Colossian church, the Laodicean church, those particular churches in that geographical area are under specific attack. And we'll see those attacks as we begin to study through these scriptures. Attacks from the Judaizers, which teach that individuals must take up the law of Moses, become Jewish, circumcised, and then be a Christian. Attacks from the mystics, which teach that there should be angel worship. And attacks from the Gnostics, where we learned before that the Gnostics believe that Jesus Christ is not divine, but a created being, and that all matter is evil, and only the spirit is good. And wisdom comes from this supernatural inner light that only the elite can possess. Verse number 1 also speaks of the Laodicean church. And we're going to learn about the Laodicean church as we approach chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. The Laodicean church is also mentioned in Revelation chapter 3. This Laodicean church is in the same geographical region as the church of Ephesus, the church of Hierapolis, the church of Colossae, as mentioned here in the book of Colossians. Therefore, these churches shared these epistles among themselves, and individuals from the churches also knew each other and knew of the Apostle Paul's teachings. Verse number 1 also speaks of Paul not seeing individuals by face in the flesh or in the natural. This speaks to perhaps new converts that have come along and been converted after the Apostle Paul has migrated through the area in his missionary journeys. This also means that Paul may have taken another missionary route, as some scholars teach, and may not have come in face-to-face contact with some of these individuals in these particular cities. Also, this speaks of Paul being connected by the Holy Spirit with these believers. Paul being connected as a part of the body of Christ, connected by love and concern and compassion. Verse number 2 speaks of the substance of Paul's prayer. Paul is praying and commending the love of the Colossian church. How important it is to be a church of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 teaches that we can have the gift of tongues and prophecy, knowledge, faith, and sacrifice, yet without godly love, it is nothing. Verse number 2 also speaks of the full assurance of the understanding in Christ. This speaks to growing in our faith, as we grow in the assurance of Christ, as we grow closer to Christ in relationship. Paul is commending the Colossian church for their growth in the Lord, their love of the Lord, and their faith in the Lord. Verse number 3 is a direct teaching against the belief that the Gnostics' inner light is a source of their wisdom. Paul here is teaching that wisdom is found in Christ, that everything we need in terms of godliness, wisdom, understanding, purpose, riches are all found in Christ. Wisdom does not come from individuals' intelligence per se, nor from academia, nor from street smarts. Wisdom comes from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 states that Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31 speak of Christ personified as wisdom. Verses 4 through 7. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Here in verse number 4, there's a warning from Paul against false doctrine, individuals that will come and deceive them through false teaching. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 teach, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. False teaching is an attack from the enemy to destroy the church from within. And there will be ministers of God who present themselves proper, yet their teaching will take you away from the Word of God and the peace and safety of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 teach, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. False teaching and perverting the word of God goes back to the Garden of Eden. It was the serpent who challenged God's word to Eve and said, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden?" So the devil always comes to either question or to pervert the word of God. This is an attack to destroy the church from within. The attack to destroy the church from the outside comes through persecution. The attack to destroy the church from the inside comes from false doctrine. False doctrine that will cause individuals to shipwreck their faith, and persecution to cause individuals to give up. Verse number 5 teaches that he knows of their joy in Christ, their conversion in Christ bringing joy in the Spirit. And connected by the Holy Spirit, Paul not being there is connected as a member of the body of Christ. even thousands of miles away, we as believers can be connected to each other through compassion, through love, through prayer in the body of Christ. Verse number 6 teaches that after conversion, now walk in the Lord, live in the Lord, love the Lord, demonstrate your faith by living for the Lord. This speaks of a relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals that are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, walking in the Holy Spirit and enjoying a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking with Him and talking with Him along life's narrow way. Verse 6 speaks of a relationship in Christ. Scripture teaches in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our very being. Verse number 7 speaks of being rooted and grounded. It speaks of a foundation in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 states, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 teach that we should build our house upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 8 through 10, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Here in verse number 8, a warning against trusting in human philosophies. Individuals at that time and in these days tend to believe that the smarter they get, that the closer they get to the Lord. Individuals adding human ingenuity, human philosophies, human beliefs to their walk in the Lord. This will begin to distort and contradict an individual's faith, for they will begin to question the Word of God, question the Holy Spirit, question the Lord, question their purpose in life, the meaning of life, and it will take them away from their purpose in the Lord, following the Scriptures and fulfilling the Word of God. Verse number 9 speaks of Jesus Christ as being the fullness of the Godhead. The Gnostics once again taught that Jesus was a created being, an emanation, or one of many emanations that came from God down through the eons of time. Paul here is teaching that Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, before anything was created, there was the divine Trinity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in sweet fellowship, in need of nothing. And then God spoke, "Let there be light," and the universe was created, and God's biblical purpose began. Acts chapter 17, verse 29, teach of the Godhead. Verse number 7 also speaks to our attitude in the Lord. It speaks of thanksgiving. Individual Christians should have an attitude of gratitude in the Lord, being thankful for His mercy, for His grace, for His loving kindness, for His long suffering, for His forgiveness, for washing us and cleansing us, for allowing us to have everlasting life in Christ. Scripture teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Scripture teaches in Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Verse number 10 speaks of us being complete in Christ. no need to add to the work on the cross of Christ. No need to take away from the work on the cross of Christ. No need to add, no need to take away. The Lord Jesus Christ did a complete work on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." And our salvation is sure in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has made us whole in the Lord. He has restored us, and we are now adopted into the family of God. No need for do's and don'ts. No need for rituals and formulas. All that's needed is childlike faith to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." No need to add or take away, do's or don'ts, rituals and formulas added to the work of the cross of Calvary, nor to the restoration that God has done in our life through Christ Jesus. For we are complete in Christ, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are not to add works to our salvation, nor religious rituals in order to be saved. Individuals trusting in rituals, trusting in religion, trusting in observance of ritualistic laws, do's and don'ts, is not an act of faith, but an act of works. It is an act of unbelief for individuals desiring to be in control and not trust in the cross of Calvary to do a complete work for our salvation. This is the teaching on the book of Colossians, chapter 2, part 1. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of rededication, this prayer of salvation. Won't you pray this prayer with me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.